Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota Daf Chaf Aleph. We're going to begin 7 lines to the top at the 2 dots, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Reba Ben, Louis Kessler, Eliezer Yehuda Ben Harav David Tzvi, Sam Strutzer, Simcha Ben Yaakov Halevi, and also Le'ilu Nishmas Kreindul Yenta Basimcha Halevi. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin 7 lines from the top. Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph with the quoting of the Mishnah. V'yeh zechus tola shalosh shanim chulei. If the woman, Rachmanu Litzlan, has committed adultery and the mei hamarim are going to go and check her out and kill her, however, if she has certain zechusim, certain merits, so then it can delay the punishment from occurring. As we discussed previously, she may start getting sick right away, but it won't kill her. Others say no, it will hold off even the symptoms of getting sick, and she'll suddenly get sick at the point that her zechusim no longer hold everything in abeyance. In any event, there is certain types of zechusim that will prevent her from being attacked immediately by the mehamarim. So the Gemara asks, what type of zechus demai? What exactly can she have done to prevent the mehamarim from taking effect right away, fully effect right away? Ilema zechus de Torah. If you're telling me, she had zechus of the Torah, she learned Torah, that can't be. Ha eno mitzuva va'osahi. She is not commanded to learn Torah. Women, based upon Psukim, do not have an obligation to go and learn Torah. They are obligated to know all the mitzvahs that they have to do. A woman has to know how to cook on Shabbos. A woman has to know halachos of taras hamishpacha. A woman has to know halachos of brachos, of eating, etc. Everything a woman has to know. However, once she knows those halachos, which she could learn theoretically at the hands of her mother and her grandmother, as it usually was done in those days, so then there is no obligation for a woman to chaza the halachos. If she could take, theoretically, a pill that would give her all the knowledge that she needed to know, so then that's it. She never has to open up a safe again in her life. As long as she knows what to do, a woman doesn't have an obligation of Talmud Torah. A man, even if he knows the halachos of Shabbos, has to chaza them. If he knows the halachos of Pesach, he has to chaza them. There's a constant limud HaTorah mitzvah. Day and night, a man has to learn Torah, whereas a woman has to know what to do, but she doesn't have that obligation. This is a Torah-given precept. And therefore, women are considered eno mitzuva. They're not obligated. And therefore, even if she were to learn Torah, it won't be able to protect her. So the Gemara questions, therefore, what zuchus could she have? So it must be, the Gemara says, elo zuchus de mitzvah. It's the fact that she does mitzvahs. That's what protects her. So Gemara again questions, zuchus de mitzvah, mi machna kuli hai. But how could the zuchus of doing mitzvahs protect her so much? Torah protects tremendously, but the zuchus of the mitzvah doesn't have that same level of protection, as the Gemara will now spend a little bit of time discussing, because we're learning in the following brayos of Atanya. Ezu dorash rabbi Menachem bar Yosef. Rabbi Menachem bar Yosef dasha, the famous pasuk that we have in Mishlei, where it says, kiner mitzvah v'sora or. The mitzvahs are compared to a candle, ner, and the sora, the Torah, is compared to or, a much brighter light. So therefore, tola hakosuv es hamitzvah b'ner, the Torah in Mishlei is telling us that mitzvahs are compared to a ner, a candlelight, a fire, so to say, v'es haTorah b'or, whereas the Torah is compared to a much brighter light, a permanent type of a light. So what does that mean? Es hamitzvah b'ner, lomar loch, to teach us, ma ner eino megino elo v'shoa, just like a candlelight, it will only protect you while it's being used. It will only protect you lefi shah while using the candle. It can give you a certain level of protection. But when the candle is extinguished, you have no benefit anymore from that candle. So to af mitzvah, eino megina, the mitzvah can only protect you el lefi shah for a short period of time. The es haTorah b'or. However, the Torah is compared to this more permanent type of a light. So teaching us, lomar loch, ma or megin li olam, just like light, like the sunlight, is able to protect you all the time, it's a permanent type of a protection, so to af Torah megina li'olam, so to the Torah protects you on a more permanent basis. And this is based upon another pasuk in Mishlei, a famous pasuk that people recite at the conclusion of a seam of a mesechta, the Omer, b'salechecha tancha osach, v'shoch b'cha tishmar olecha, v'akitzosa hi sisichecha. So we only quote the beginning of the pasuk first. V'omer v'salecha l'tancha osoch v'gomer, and now we darshan each of the words of this part of the pasuk. V'salecha l'tancha osoch, that refers to ze olam hazeh. This is a reference to this world, olam hazeh. When you learn Torah in this world, so then v'shoch b'cha tishmar olecha. When you die, v'shoch means at the time that you die, you will have it protecting you. So this is a reference to v'shoch b'cha zum mitzah. This is the death. The Torah is going to protect you. It will watch over you. And when you get up, Akitzosa, this is talking about Yemosa Mashiach, Hisisichecha. This will go and speak on your behalf. Lawsud Lavo. This is talking about the future. In other words, the Torah will be this eternal protection for a person. It will protect you when you're dead. It will protect you when you come back in Trias HaMesim. And therefore, the Torah is considered a much better protection than the mitzvos. And the Gemara gives an example. Marshall, this is an analogy. A person walking in the middle of the dark depths of the night. And Mishare, he's afraid from the things that can kill him and hurt him. Minakotzim, he's afraid, for example, from the thorns of the road. Minapsochim, or Minhabarkanim, from all sorts of holes in the ground and from all sorts of other types of things that can damage him. Barkanim are thistles. Umechaya ra, he's afraid from wild animals. Minalistim, from armed robbers. The Enyodeya, days of their Malach. And furthermore, he can't tell whether he's on the right road or not. He can't tell if he's going in the right direction. So all of a sudden, is Danlo Avukashul Ur. All of a sudden, he gets a candlelight. Now he's able to be protected from some of those things. It needs sal min hakotzim, min hapsochim, min harakadim. So all of a sudden now, he'll be able to be protected from holes in the ground and the thorns and the thistles. Very good. So he's protected somewhat. However, v'dayim misari mechayiro u'min alistim. However, he's still afraid from the wild animals and from the armed robbers. As Rashi says, shedarkon lelich b'layla. They go out at night. Even if he has a little bit of a candlelight, that's not going to necessarily scare them off. And he has to be afraid, pen yivgubo, that they'll come and attack him. So he's still only protected a little bit from the thorns and the thistles and from the holes in the ground, but he's not protected from wild animals and armed robbers. Furthermore, he's still, it's not enough, this little candlelight to let him know if he's going in the right direction. Okay, he can see he's on a road, but he doesn't know if it's the right road. However, kiven shalom ha-shachar, however, when the sun rises in the morning, so nitzal now mechayirom, in a list of the wild animals, they go away during the daytime. They are more night animals. And the armed robbers, they slunker away. They don't attack people so much during the day. So therefore, he is saved somewhat with the light of the day from these types of additional potential dangers. However, he still doesn't know, is he on the right road? Okay, he can see, but he doesn't know if he's on the right road. Now he yell the parosh as drachim when he reaches the crossroads. So then, at that point in time, nitzal mikulam. He now can see that he's going the right road. He's going on the right way. As Rashi says, Misham hikir is darko. He'll be able to tell. Oh, I have to go right. I have to go left. I have to go straight. I'll know which way to go. V'yav gan he yell yom amitsa v'lo pirush min haTorah. So this is telling us that if a person reaches the crossroads, meaning day of death, and he hasn't gone off the derech, so nitzal mikulam, then he can see that he's protected from all of them. That's what nitzal mikulam means, according to Rashi. Alternatively, dover acher, another way to explain this idea of near mitzvah Torah, or is aveira mechab mitzvah, and aveira has the potential to extinguish, to put out a mitzvah. However, vein aveira mechab Torah, but an aveira is not strong enough to extinguish the Torah that a person has learned. And this is based upon the following pasuk, from Shir HaShirim, which we just read on Shabbos of Pesach. The Ein Aveira Mechab Torah Shenemar Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lechabos Esu Ava. The great waters aren't able to go and extinguish Ava. Ava, Rashi tells us, is a reference to the Torah. As Rashi says, he brings down the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Heviyani Obeis Hayayin V'Dugolo Olai Avas Yayin Sod. More else, who tells us that Yayin in Gematria adds up to 70, and Sod, secrets of the Torah, also add up to 70, and therefore this is a reference over here to the Ava referring to Torah. Bottom line is, we see over here that only a Aveira can have the potential to erase a mitzvah, but it doesn't have the potential to erase your Torah learning. So bottom line is, what mitzvah do the women have that they're able to withstand, to mitigate the Nesota, that it should be Tola for 1 or 2 or 3 years. So Rav Yosef, no, it is mitzvah. So the bottom line is, mitzvah be'idno de'osik bo magna u'matzla. Why are you doing the actual mitzvah? So it has the potential to protect you not only from punishment, but also u'matzla can also protect you from doing averos. Be'idno de'lo'osik bo, when you're not doing the mitzvah, it still has the potential to protect you from punishment. Aguni magna. However, atzuli lo matzah, it won't protect you from sinning. So the mitzvah has a certain protective benefit even when you're not doing it, but it won't protect you from sinning. but it can protect you from the Mei Sota. It can be toled for a year or two or 3 years. The Torah is stronger. Torah, Bein Be'idno De Osik Bo, Ubein Be'idno De Lo Osik Bo, Magna Umatzla. Torah, however, is even stronger. It will protect you certainly while you're learning it, and it will protect you from getting punished and will prevent you from sinning. But even when you're not learning it, it still can have that same level of protection. However, that's where Yosef's Teretz, but now the Gears that we have is Rabba, but it says in Masosa Shasa should be Rava. Masif lo Rava. Rava disagrees with his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, and he says as follows. Masif lo, again, the Gears should be Rava, Elamei Ata, Doeg, Viachi, Tofel, Milo Aski B'Torah. So wait a second, based upon what you're saying, that even when you're not learning Torah, it's able to not only protect you from punishment, but it's also able to prevent you from sinning. So then how do you explain Doeg and Achitofel, Nebuch, two great, great Tamidei Chachamim who both went off the Derech? They both learned a tremendous amount of Torah. They were both the heads of Sanhedrin, Doeg during the times of Shaul and Achitofel during the times of David HaMelech. So Amai, Lo, now that we have the word Hegina Alayu, why wasn't it able to go and protect them? Now, it really should have been, as the Tosu Shan springs down, this was Lav Dafka, the word over here, Megin, Alayu, Megin Lav Dafka, Elo Rotzalomar Amai Lo Matzil Alayu. Why wasn't the Torah able to protect them from sinning? And the Tosu Shan also says it shouldn't be both Doeg and Achitofel. He says Doeg is incorrect over here. The Girsa of Doeg, we should actually not be Goris, because this Maisa happened well after Doeg's death. In any event, it should just be Achitofel. But the bottom line is, the question is a good question. If you, Rav Yosef, are saying that the Torah is able to go and protect you from doing Averos, so it doesn't only protect you from punishment, but it will prevent you from doing Averos, so then why weren't Doeg and Achitofel, or just Achitofel, protected? They were great Tamidei Chachamim, yet they both died at very young ages. Doeg died at 33, Achitofel died at 34. They were such big Tamidei Chachamim, why wasn't their Talmud Torah able to protect them from doing Averos? So, therefore, Rava says this is the right understanding, how the woman is having something that could be tola and prevent her from having the Mei Marim attack her right away, but it will prevent it for a year or two or three. Elama Rava, be'idno de'osik ba, when a person is actually involved in learning Torah, then magna, it will protect him from punishment at that point in time, and umatzla, and it will prevent him from sinning in the future. However, be'idno de'osik ba, when you're not learning Torah, agune magna, it still protects you from getting punished. However, atzuli lo matzla, and that's why Doeg and Achitofel, they weren't prevented from Rachmon al-Islan sinning and going off the derech. As opposed to a mitzvah, which is a lower level of protection, so bein be'idon de osik bo, bein be'idon de lo osik bo. So a mitzvah, whether you're doing the mitzvah right now or whether you're not doing the mitzvah right now, you just have done it in the past. So yes, it does have the potential to protect you from punishment, aguni magda. And that's why the schus that the woman might have could protect it from having the punishment go and affect her right now, could prevent it and be told her for a year or two or three. So that's how mitzvah that she may have done, whether she's doing it right now or she did it in the past, can protect it from being punished right away. And it can be told her for a year or two or three. However, atzuli lo matzah, but a mitzvah
does not have the potential to prevent the person from doing her aveira rachmana litzlan.
More continues and says, Ravina, my Ravina gives us another reason how the Sota could have somehow a Zuchus that would be Tola, the punishment from occurring for a year or two or 3 years. So Ravina goes back and says, Li'olam Zuchus Torah. No, it is the Zuchus of the Torah, like we originally wanted to suggest. I, there ain't no mitzvah, or the karmis ain't no mitzvah v'osa. What about the fact that women don't have a commandment to learn Torah? Albeit, if they learn Torah, that's wonderful, but they don't have a mitzvah to learn Torah, so how could the mitzvah of Torah protect them? So the Gemara says a beautiful idea. Nehi de pikude lo mifkida. Yes, they aren't themselves mitzvah to go and learn Torah. However, they get tremendous schar, the agra, and this schar is what could be tola, Rachmon al-Islan, the sins of a sota, to prevent it from taking effect right now, could push it off for a year or two or three. This schar, the mekaryon umisnayon benayu, from the fact that they go and they teach their children and help their children to go to yeshiva and go and bring them to and from the base medrash. So this is how they get tremendous chav, by bringing their children to and from base medrash. The Mefarshim bring down, the Ben Yehuda says, for example, that the fathers may be out of town learning, the fathers may be at work, whatever the reason, the fathers can't do this. So in the schus that the mothers bring their children to and from school, they will get tremendous reward. And that could be the schus of the Torah that would protect them from Rachmon al-Islan, if they were a sota, from having the mayim affect them immediately. It could be told it for a year or two or three. Likewise, did not draw Nahula Gavrayu Ada Osmi Bebe Drosha. Likewise, they wait up night late for their husbands when they come home from work. They give them supper. They make sure that their husbands are being taken care of properly. The husbands are learning Torah all day, or they're going away to yeshiva, and they allow them to go out of town to yeshiva for many years at a time, like the wife of Rabbi Akiva, the great Rachel, Rabbi Akiva's wife. So she got tremendous reward for allowing her husband to go learn for 24 uninterrupted years. And she gave up having her husband with her for all of those years. So in that tremendous reward for staying up late at night, waiting for the husbands to come home, taking care of all the children in the morning so the husband can go off to work, etc., etc., all the wonderful things that the Nishei Yisrael do to allow their husbands to study Torah. So in that zechus, that they wait for their husbands, Milo Palgon Bahadayu. So obviously they're going to share equally in that reward. So therefore, they also have the zechus of Torah that could be Tola, Rachmana Lassan, if they committed an Aveira, like a Sota, that it could push off the terrible punishment for a year or two or three. Now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa we brought down a few moments ago and said, my Parashas Drachim, we said that there were the three points in time. There was the night, there was the morning when the sun came up, and then when they reached the Parashas Drachim. So what exactly is this Parashas Drachim, these crossroads that they reach and they know that they're safe? So Amar Rav Chista gives us one idea. He says, Zeh Talmud Chacham V'yom HaMisa. This is a Talmud Chacham, and he finally realizes when he comes to the day of his death that he's not going to be, Rachmana Lassan, pushed onto the wrong derech. A person should always watch every day, Rachmana Lassan, the Satan could go and get them. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for many, many decades, and yet at the end he turned and became a Tzduki. So it's always possible, Rachmana Lassan, for the Yetzirah to overcome you. So Ad Yom HaMisa, you have to always battle the Yetzirah. So therefore, in this situation, as Rashi points out, this is a Talmud Chacham, Yom Oso, the Yeda, Shelo Piresh, Lifrok, May all of Old Torah. Only then can he realize that Baruch Hashem, he stayed on the right path, and that's what that reaches the Parashas Drachim. It means the Yom HaMisa, and he knows he's on the right path. That is the opinion of Rav Chista. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak has a slightly different understanding. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Omar, he says, this Parashas Drachim is referring to Zet Talmud Chacham, the Yir Aschait. As Rashi points out, Zocha, Yir Aschait, if a person is a Talmud Chacham, and he also is Yari Shemayim, so he has Yir Aschait, so Achar Shezocha Torah, so Baruch Hashem, he's a big Talmud Chacham, nevertheless, Nitzal Mikulan, he's able to see when he reaches the Parashas Drachim that he has been saved from all the terrible things that could have occurred to him. Shatorah, Lemundoso, Divri Mitzvah, the Divri Yitzchak. So the learning of the Torah, so he knows what's right and what's wrong. However, Umashu Zerich Lufrosh, and he knows what he has to stay away from. However, he still could succumb to his desires. The Yerashchet, Mono, Miludo, Achariyitzo. But having Yerashemayim, having Yerashchet, so that will prevent him from going off the derech. He knows what's right and wrong, but he still has tremendous taiva to do what's wrong. So a Yerashchet, a Yerashemayim, so that will prevent him from going off. That's what it means, the Parashas Drachim. And finally, we have the opinion of Mazutra. Mazutra, Mar, this is a reference, this parish of the Drachim, said Talmud Chacham, the Salkele Shmaisesa Aliba de Hilchasa. This is a Talmud Chacham who not only is a big Talmud Chacham, but he knows that he's successful when we end up paskening like him. As Rashi brings down, the Ramasal, the Salkele Shmaisesa Aliba de Hilchasa. Vachikam, this is what it means, according to Mazutra. Olo Amur HaShachar, when we said that when the day comes up, so he's Nitzal Mechai Rav Listim, so then he knows that he's been saved from certain terrible things that could have damaged him. So Zoch LeTorah Nitzal MeYetzahara, when he reaches over here the level that he has saved himself from the Yetzahara, Uminachet, so here he's learning. He, Baruch Hashem, is saved from all the terrible things in life, the dangers. But is he learning properly? Is his learning successful? So when he reaches the Parashat Drachim, so that's a reference to the idea that his halachas are accepted, his learning is accepted, lahalacha. Oh, that's Parashat Drachim. So if he reaches this level, so then he's saved from everything. Okay. Alternatively, Dover Acher, another way to understand Ner Mitzvah Torah or is that Aveira is Mechaba Mitzvah, and Aveira can, Rachmana Lislan, extinguish, go and take away the reward of a Mitzvah that you had done. However, the Ein Aveira Mechaba Torah, but Aveira cannot remove ever the reward that you get for having learned Torah. How do we understand this? Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says as follows. Darshe Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi Lahai Kra Ki Sinai. Rav Yosef said that this pasuk was explained by Rav Nachman Bar Yosi as if he had heard it directly from Har Sinai, as if he was there listening to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. And he says, Vilmale Darshua Doeg Vachitofel Achi. And in fact, if only Doeg and Achitofel, again, the Tosafot Shan says we shouldn't be goris over here
Doeg, he says the pasuk that we're bringing down is occurring, this pasuk is describing things that happened after Doeg was already alive. So, in any event, if only Doeg and Achitofel had understood this, lo ratfu basa David, they never would have chased after David. Now, what is this pasuk? The pasuk tells us in Tehillim, Lamar Elokim Azavo Vegomer. The rest of the pasuk is, Lamar Elokim Azavo Ridfu Vesivsu Ki Ein Matzil. So what does this mean? How do we dash in this? My Dorish, Velo Yira Becho Ervas Dover Vegomer. So they had understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't withstand to be with people that have Erevas Dover. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand immorality. And therefore, they thought that David had committed immorality with Bathsheba. They did not understand, as Rav Nachum Bar Yossi had just taught us, as he learned it as if he was Ki Sinai. So he had said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow a reward of a mitzvah to be extinguished by an avera. However, they have avera mechaba Torah, but there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not reward people for the Torah that they've learned. Even if Rachmon al-Islam, they've also done averus. So therefore, if only Doeg and Achitofel had understood this, they would not have run after David. They wouldn't have thought that they could defeat David HaMelech. They'd given a false sense of security. As Rashi tells us, in Dira Maskel, Leimah Elokim Azavo, Kachi Omen, this is what Doeg and Achitofel said, Omen Olav, Elokim Azavo, they said, God has forsaken David. God is not going to help David out over here because Shabal Eshazish, they accused him improperly, inappropriately, of having relations with an Eshazish, Bathsheba. Vein Anu Nanarshim Alav. And therefore, we won't be punished if we go and attack David. And therefore, Rodfu Visivsu, as the Pasuk until him said, they ran after him and tried to capture him. Kihim Atzil, they said, there's no way Hashem will save him. Ein lo zechus, they thought that he doesn't have any zechusim, shiatzilenu, shavera kovsa zechu yosef. They thought that the avera that he did, which they thought, which was an avera with Bathsheba, would prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from protecting David. However, they misunderstood that Torah cannot be extinguished no matter what. Now, we had dashed in the pasuk earlier, mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'chabos esu ava, which we said ava was Torah, unif uharos lo yishtefuha, and the waters will not be able to wipe it away. And then we had said, im yitain, the end of the pasuk is, im yitain ish es kolhon beso ba'ava boz yavuzu lo. So now, in this pasuk, Kushir Hashirim, we dashed in the end of it. My boz yavuzu lo. What does it mean at the end that if a person even offered to give all of his money for Torah, they would laugh at him. They would scorn him. Boz yavuzu lo. So why do we understand this pasuk? Omer Ula says, this pasuk is telling us that there's certain types of relationships that are yisachar zvulun type of relationships, where one person's the learner, one person's the earner, and the earner supports the learner. So there are certain types of relationships that are very kosher and very wonderful. But then there's another type which you cannot do. You can't buy it after the fact, as we'll now see. So Ula tells us, Omer Ula, this pasuk is not referring to a relationship like lo kishimon achi Azariah. Who is Shimon achi Azariah? So Rashi brings down, Dibra Masel Shimon achi Azariah, Tanahu. That Shimon was a Tana, and his brother was Azariah. And he was a Tana, and he's mentioned in the Mishnah Kamaisa, the Zvachim, in the first Mishnah in Zvachim, he's mentioned, the Lomad Torah Ayidei Echav. And Shimon was able to become the Tana, Shimon, only because his brother supported him. And therefore, Shaya Osik Frakmatja, his brother Azariah was a businessman, and with the money that he earned in his business, he told his brother Shimon, you go sit in Koil, you sit in Beis Medrash, and I'll support you. Kidei Shiyachlok Bizchus Limudo Shel Shimon, and we'll split everything. I'll split my income with you, and you split your reward with me for learning Torah. And that was done a priori, that was done beforehand. Lekach hu nikra al shem Azariah ochid. That's why he's referred to as Shimon achi Azariah, because his brother really supported him. And likewise, Rashi brings down the next case we're going to bring down, where there's lo ki Rabbi Yochanan devei nesia, and this doesn't apply, this pasuk that you will be laughed at if you try to do this, doesn't apply to the relationship that Rabbi Yochanan had in the house of the nesia. Chayim Rabbi Yochanan, Rashi says, Laman ayideh hanasi. He was supported by the bey nesia. They had stipends for the people that were sitting in the base medrash, Shaim and Farnaso, and the bey nesia supported them. And again, this was a priori the relationship. They went into this beforehand, before he learned Torah, so they set up this arrangement, both B'Shimon Achi Azariah and Rabbi Yochanan with the house of the base nesia. So therefore, this pasuk does not refer to them, Ula said.
Elo, what does this pasuk refer to? This refers to Elo kihilal vishevna. Now, it's not meant in a disparaging way. It's just meant that it won't work if you set it up in this way. Hillel and Shevna were two brothers also. The Chiyos of Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Yisrael, Omer, he said, Hillel and Shevna, Achi Habu, Hillel and Shevna, this is the great Hillel. He had a brother, Shevna. And Hillel Osak B'Torah, under great distress, as we know, he was impoverished, and yet he put all the little bit he had to go and learn Torah. Shevna, Avad Iska, his brother was a wealthy businessman. His brother did well in business. Now, after Shevna saw that Hillel was so successful in his learning, so finally he said, listen, Torah now rove liflog, I will now give you support, and you give me half of the Torah that you've learned. So we'll share each other's goods. I'll give you my money, and you give me a Torah. So Yotzeh Baskel Yorma, about this type of relationship, which is after the fact, then the Baskel came out and said this pasuk from Shir HaShirim, and it said, Imitei Nish is called home base, so the Gomer. If you give all of your money, what's going to happen? Nothing will happen. Bo's yavuzu lo. They're going to laugh at you. You can't do it after the fact. After you've gone through your life and you have money left over, you say, I'm going to buy this guy's Torah for the last 50 years that he's been learning. I'll pay him now. I'll use some money for all that Torah. No, it doesn't work. If you do it a priori, l'chatchila, Yisachar Zvulun relationship, as we call it. So that is 100% wonderful. That is wonderful. That is great. As we just brought down from Shimon Achi Azariah, Shimon the Tana is known as the brother of Azariah because his brother supported him a priori, before the fact. And not like Hillel and Shevna, which was an attempt after the fact for Shevna to support his brother Hillel. Now we turn to Chafalav on the days. The Gemara continues, quoting the Mishnah, where it said, Omer ben Azai, Chayib Odun Lamid, Esbito v'chule. A person is obligated, according to ben Azai, to teach his Torah, teach his daughter Torah, in order that, in case Zuchus Tolala, she shouldn't think and cast aspersions with the Maya Marvin, thinks that she can get away with committing adultery, Rachmana Litzlan, because she can somehow get away with it. So, therefore, teach your daughter Torah. In other words, teach her this din that sometimes the zechus can be told to my marim. Rabbi Lezer disagreed, and Rabbi Shua disagreed. Rabbi Lezer Omer, kol malamid is bito Torah melamdo tiflos. If somebody teaches his Torah, his daughter Torah, so it's as if he taught her tiflos. We explained that Rashi elsewhere says tiflos is a bodhisattva. The Ben Yoda brings down from the Rebbeinu Avadya, and he says that tiflos is actually mishkav zohar, homosexuality. In any event, tiflos is not good. It's an immorality. So the Gemara says, really? Rabbi Lezer says, if you teach your daughter Torah, it's as if you're teaching her immorality, you're teaching her certain types of inappropriate relationships? Tiflus salkadaitach? Is that really what Rabbi Lezer says? So therefore, we add the word over here, Ella Ema Ki'ilu Lim the Tiflus. When we learn the Mishnah, the word Ki'ilu was in parentheses. And obviously, when you see it over here, it shouldn't have been included in the Mishnah. The Mishnah with the word Ki'ilu is essentially now the way the Gemara understands the Mishnah, so it's correct, but it wasn't listed in the Mishnah. That's why it was in parentheses, the Mishnah. So therefore, Rav Lez is saying, if you teach your daughter Torah, you're basically teaching her ways to, Rachmona Litzlan, do inappropriate behavior. Because if you teach her Torah, she's going to learn all sorts of ideas and ways and coolers that she's going to give herself and all sorts of ideas that could chas v'shalom lead her to do immoral things. Amar Rabbi Avoh, Rabbi Avoh says, my time with Rabbi Lezer. Why is Rabbi Lezer saying this? Why would her learning Torah give her these incorrect approaches and end up doing incorrect things? So he brings down the pasuk to say, Ani chochma shechanti orma. Another pasuk for Mishlei. So the Torah is referred to as wisdom. Rashi says, chochma is the Torah. I'm the Torah and shechanti orma. What does that mean? When you have the Torah entering into a person, it teaches you all sorts of things, and nechlesa imo armumis. And Rachmana Litzlan, it could also teach you how to act inappropriately. Learn kunsin and learn all sorts of legal manipulations, and Rachmana Litzlan, it could lead a person to act inappropriately. And that's why Rabbi Eliezer said, according to Rabbi Avoh, don't teach your daughter Torah, because it could lead the Rachmana Litzlan to the exact opposite of what you want. No. Rabbanan, in other words, Ben Azai, what does he do with this pasuk from Mishlei? Hi, ani chochma mayav delay. Seems that the way Rabbi Avoh darshan this, according to Rabbi Eliezer's understanding, it's a bad thing to teach the girl Torah. Yet Rabbi Azai says you should teach your daughter Torah. So what's going on?
So Mar says, Benazi would learn it as follows. He needs this drasha, this pasuk in Mishlei, to teach us that which Rav Yossi Rav Chanina taught us. What was that? The Amar Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimin Ela B'mi Shemamit Atzmo Orum Aleihem. The Torah will only be successfully learned in a person who stands, so to say, naked by them. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Shapiresh Mikol Asokim. He leaves everything else. He's naked from anything else in the world. He makes himself totally financially impoverished. He makes himself totally empty from anything else but the Torah. So he's naked from anything else. That's what the pasuk means. Ani chochma shechanti armor. You want to acquire Torah, you have to give up everything else. You can't be a very, very successful person in business and still be the huge Talmud Chacham that you would have been if you hadn't spent your time doing the business. Not to say that there aren't great people who are wealthy and have been successful in business and are Talmidei Chachamim, but what Rav Yosef Chanin is telling us is that a guarantee, if you wish to go and make sure that you're Kone Torah, Ani Chachma, Shachanti Arma. You have to go leave everything else aside. That's the best guarantee that you'll be successful. And that's the Pasuk, Shnem, Ani Chachma, Shachanti Arma. Rabbi Yochanan says similarly, Ein Divrei Torah Miskayim Ela B'Misha Meisim Asmo K'Misha Eino. A person will be successful if he's totally humble. If he makes himself as if he's Anochi Afar V'Efer, you're a gurnished, you're a nothing. As if you make yourself into nothing, so then you'll be successful learning Torah. As we mentioned many times, Torah is always compared to water, and water always will travel to the lowest spot. So if you want to be successful in learning, you have to make yourself humble. Shenema V'Chachma Me'ayin Timotze. This is another pasuk from Eov, where it tells us that if you make yourself into a nothing, so then you'll be successful in your learning. Rashi had another pshat on Shema Minatzmo Orem Aleha. He says, Lishnachrina, Shemesim Atzmo Orem Aleha, Garsinon, Shemarim, Sheiskayim Taroso, Likbos Ayad, Yad, Lumot Mikol Oda. He says, what you should do is, so to say, try to trick the Eight Sahara. That's what it means. Do it with Arma to trick the Eight Sahara. The Eight Sahara is never going to tell you straight out, don't learn, don't learn. He knows that you won't be able to fall for that. But he says, I'll learn later on. He says, oh, learn tomorrow. Oh, go to this other shir. It's much better. And right now, do this. So he's always trying to trick you. So you have to go back and be tricky with the Eight Sahara. Say, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. But right now, I'm just going to learn a little bit. And you have to try to, so to say, trick your Eight Sahara. Force yourself to do a little bit, and eventually you'll outsmart your Yetzirah. Then we quote the Mishnah, we have Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua Meir, Rotsi Isha V'chule. Rabbi Shua's opinion was that a woman would rather have Akav and Tiflus rather than Tisha Kavim and Precious. A woman would rather have a small amount of physical, financial good things and more time with her husband than having a lot of financial good things and unfortunately be away from her husband. Her husband's always working. So I've already explained what it is. Gemara says my comment was what she was saying. So I comment. This is what he's saying. Rotz Isha b'kav tiflus imo mitishus kabim ufrishus, not with her husband. A woman would rather have her husband home more often, as Tosus brings down in Diva Maskel. Rotz Isha b'kav tiflus pishu benu chanano. Rotz Isha she bala chamar. She would prefer that her husband be a local taxi driver working in the city. The imotzu yetzlo b'chol Shabbos, and therefore be available to her every single Shabbos. Lo seis lo onasa, and to be with her husband every single Shabbos. Lo yavi lo. And even though he'll only therefore make a small amount of money, a kav's worth of chitim only, as opposed to he could be a much more successful financial person, he could be a truck driver that goes from town to town, from city to city, a camel driver, that goes longer distances, makes more money, but only has an obligation to be with his wife once every 30 days. So the woman would prefer that even though her husband's not making so much money, he's only making a kav's worth of wheat, but he's there every Shabbos, as opposed to the camel driver that will bring her 10 kavim, 9 times as much wheat. Personally, she would prefer chaviv oleh ha'ona b'chol Shabbos v'kav echad mites kavim uprishus lamed yom. She would much prefer her husband to be with her every single Shabbos and make less money than for her husband to make a ton of money but not be with her most of the time. So that's the simple understanding over here of what Yeshua is saying. And therefore, if a woman would learn Torah, she would understand that the tiflus, the being with her husband, isn't the most important thing in life. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, a woman would go against her natural tendencies, and therefore it is preferable not to teach a girl Torah as it goes against her natural tendencies. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah as well. Ho Vaya Omer, Yeshua said another thing. Chosid Shotim Chule. He brought down 4 things in the Mishnah that are Mechavale or Mechali Olam, that go and destroy the world. What are these 4 things? So the first one was a chosid shota. Hechi dami chosid shota. What is a chosid shota? A righteous fool. So the Gemara says, kegon, For example, a person, the Kotova Itza Binara, he sees a woman drowning in the river and he says, "Whoa, Nagia, I can't go and save her. I can't go and look at her. She's drowning in the water. Her clothing is wet and see-through. She's have to take off her clothing. And how can I go save her? I'm going to have to carry her and touch her." So it's inappropriate. So that's called a chosid shota. That's called a righteous fool. Of course, there's a mitzvah to go and save her, and that you go and put aside those other things in order to go save the woman. If a doctor is taking care of a female patient, so he has an obligation, obviously, to stay within the realm of halacha, but at the same time, he is allowed to go and look at and touch and do certain things that would normally not be permitted under any circumstances outside of the medical profession. So therefore, a person who doesn't do this is considered a chosid shota. Tosus in Dibur Masel Hechidomi Chosid Shota brings down another example from the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Ro'a tinok mibabeya binar. If a person sees a baby that Nebuch is drowning in the water, and he says, I'm wearing my tefillin. Let me take off my tefillin, and then I'll go save the baby. L'she'ach lo tefillin atzi ledo. I'll take off my tefillin. I used to wear the tefillin all day, and by the time he takes off the tefillin, Nebuch, the kid is drowned. The poor baby died. So therefore, that's another example that Yerushalmi gives of a person who seemingly is doing the right thing. I'll take off my tefillin so I don't get ruined. I don't want to go look at that woman because she's drowning in the river. But obviously, that is stupid and wrong. He's a chosid shota. Then the next thing that we mentioned, Rabbi Yeshua said, is mevali olam, mechali olam, hechidami rasha orim. What does it mean? A sly, cunning rasha. A rasha orim. So we're going to give many terutzim to what this is. The first one is from Yochanan. Yochanan says that this Rosh Arim is there hamatim devarav ledayan kodim shiyavo baldin chavero. Now, the rule is that a person is not allowed to go and have his case heard by the judge without the other litigant being present. Because once you hear something, so then it makes an impression on you, and you're already biased. And then when the other person later comes along and tells his side of the story, you already are biased against him. So when the litigants go in front of the judge, they have to go together, and both of the litigants have to go and say the case in front of the judge together, so each one can argue against what the other points are, and hopefully the din will come la'amito. Now, this situation over here, Ryokhan says, is that the person had discussed this with the Talmud Chacham, who would eventually be the judge before the case came to the din Torah. Now, the judge didn't do necessarily something wrong because it wasn't yet a din Torah, but he had heard one side, so then he should have recused himself. So this person who says, "Ooh, I'm going to go to this judge, but we haven't yet officially gone to the Beis Din yet, so let me tell him my side of the story and get his opinion as to what I should do." So now the judge is eventually going to be his judge, has already heard his side of the story, and that's called a Rosh Aruv. This person did it in this fashion, in a tricky, sly sort of a way, in order to go and tilt the justice towards his side. So he goes and tells his words to the judge, called him Shavu Baldin Chaver, before this was a legal case, and his litigant against him had a chance to go and tell the case to the judge. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. That's the definition of Rosh Arum. Now, we have many other explanations. None of them are necessarily mutually exclusive. They're all different examples of a Rosh Arum. Rabbi Yavoz tells us a Rosh Arum is as follows. Rabbi Yavoz Omer, Zanosein Dinor La'oni La'ashalom Masayim Zuz. There is a halacha that an ani is allowed to take from the Tomchei Shabbos for the kupa of tzedakah if he is below a certain level of financial wherewithal. So therefore, if that number is 200 zuz, which it is, as we see, ditnan, mishesh lo masayim zuz, lo yitol leket shil chopeya. If a person has 200 zuz, he's not entitled to take the matnos aniyim, such as the leket, which is the pieces that drop of grain that drop from a person's hands, that's less than three pieces that drop, so then you have to leave it for the ani. The shilcha is grains that are left behind, and peya is a 60th of the field, that's midir rabbanon, that you leave aside from the field for the aniyim. So these things, how do you define an ani to take leket, shilcha, and peya if you have less than 200 zuz? So here you have this one ani who has, and as well, umaisa, Maisa Ani. And the same thing applies to Maisa Ani as well, that you're only allowed to take Maisa Ani if you have less than 200 zuz in your wealth. Now, if the person has 199 zuz, he's allowed to take Leket Shilcha Peya Maisa Ani. Hoyalo Masai Chosud Dinar. So then, Afilu Elef Nosen Lokiachas. Then you can take all of it. And we don't say, once you hit 200, you have to stop taking it. No. If you're allowed to take it, L'chatchila, you had 199, less than 200, so then you can take all the Leket Shilchan Peah, the Maiser Ani that you want, even though that's going to bring you to 1,000. Now, Hareza Yito, you're allowed to go take it. That's what the Mishnah tells us in Peah, right? Those that are doing the Yerushalmi Daf Yomi, so they're learning Peah right now, so these dinim are all hopefully familiar to those people. Now, what is this Rosh Arum? Rabbi Yavoz says this is a guy that, let's say, he himself is wealthy, and he has a lot of lekashicha and peya and maiserani that he wants to give to his own relatives. But the din is, you can't go and give lekashicha and peya to whoever you want. You have to leave it for all the aniyim, and the aniyim come and take it. You're not allowed to go give an advantage to one ani over another ani. Maiserani, you do have the right to give to who you want. So lekashicha and peya, you don't have the right to give it to the ani of your choice. So what does this Rasha Orum do? So this quote, smart guy, what he does over here is, he sees that there's two aniyim, his relative who's an ani, and this other ani. And the other ani has 199 zuz to his name. So what does he do? He, big tzaddik, he goes and gives this ani another zuz. So now the ani, the other ani, has 200 zuz. He's not allowed to take the leket shechem peya, and as a result, his relative ani is going to take all the leket shechem peya. This, Rabbi Yavo says, is another definition of a Rosh Orum. Looks like he's being a tzaddik over here, giving tzedakah, but he's really doing it in a cunning and wicked way, as a Rosh way. Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi tells us the name of Rav Yochanan. We had the opinion of Rav Yochanan before, that it was the Matim Dvar V'Ladai and Kolim Shehov Baal Din Chavero. Rav Asi has another explanation in the name of Rav Yochanan. Ze'amasi Eitzel Limkor B'Nechosim Mu'otim. This is a person who suggests to the orphans that they should go and sell off the nechasim mu'atim, because the Amar Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan, Yisom Shekadmu Mochru Minchasim Mu'atim, Mashem Mochru Mochru. So we have to understand what this did as well. Min HaTorah, only the boys inherit it. The girls there, they technically don't inherit. The rabbis came along and said, we want to make sure that the girls are taken care of properly, so when there is nechasim that are only mu'atin, so then we give it to the girls and let the boys go out and beg. If there's nechasim merubim, so then we let the regular laws of Yerusha apply, and then from the Yerusha, the girls will be given their dowry and will be taken care of. But if there's only nechasim mu'atim, so we actually give it to the girls and let the boys go out and beg. So Rav Asi Omer Rav Yochanan says that this Rosh Arum went and told the Yisomim, the boys, quickly go and sell the properties before the girls can go and take you to Beis Din to go and claim it on their behalf. So he gives advice, Amasi Aitz Limkor B'Nechasim U'Watim, so they go and sell it before the litigants, the daughters, can go and say, hey, you're not allowed to do that. So once that is done, Yisomim Shekod B'Nechasim B'Nechasim U'Watim, Mashim Mochum Mochum. The din is that it's sold, and the daughters don't have the right to get it. So this person, the Rosh Arum, who gives the Yisomim, the boys, such bad advice, so to say, this Rosh Arum advice, instead of letting the daughters take it like they're supposed to. Well, continues and tells us Abaye's definition of Rosh Arum, Vayomar Zeh Amesiyetza, this is one who gives advice inappropriately, Limkor B'Nechasim, to go and sell certain properties that came to you, we'll explain that in a moment, in accord with the opinion of Kirabban Shimon ben Gamliel. What is this talking about? Titania. So we have the following brisa. If a person says, Reuven says, Nechase lechoi, says to Shimon, all of my property I'm giving to you. However, v'acharecha, upon your death, liploni, I want any remaining property to go to Levi, to the next guy. So Reuven gave it to Shimon with the understanding that Shimon would use it during his lifetime, and anything that's left at the end of his lifetime would automatically go to Levi. And what happens? Shimon went, v'yored ha-rishon, u'machar, so instead of just using the property, Shimon sold the property, v'achal, and he consumed all of the money. He ate up all the money that he got. So at Shimon's death, there's absolutely nothing left. The property has been sold to somebody else. Yehuda owns the property now. Shimon has none of the proceeds left. So in that situation, Hasheni, Levi, in this situation, the second guy that had been promised, Reuven had given it to Shimon with the understanding that it would then go to Levi. So according to the opinion of Rebbe, the Tanakhama here, Hasheni, Levi, is motzi miyad lekuchos. He can go and take this property upon Shimon's death from Yehuda, who Shimon had sold it to. Divrei Rebbe, that's Rebbe's opinion. So there's no Rosh Arum over here if somebody had counseled Shimon, go and sell it to Yehuda and enjoy all the property. However, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ein Lasheni Ela Masha Shir Rishon. Shimon Gamliel tells us, no, in this situation, Levi is only entitled to what is actually left. And if Shimon had sold it to Yehuda and nothing is left, Levi gets nothing. Now, this is certainly not what Reuven wanted. So the person who gave this advice to Shimon, go sell off all the property, instead of what Reuven wanted is used to use the property, get the benefit from it. When you die, it goes to Levi. If somebody gives advice to Shimon, go sell the property and use all the proceeds to live whatever high life you want and leave nothing for Levi, even though that's not what Reuven wanted. So somebody who gives such advice to Shimon, technically that will work, and Yehuda will keep the property and Levi won't have any taina, but that's called the Rosh Arum, according to Abaye.
Another explanation where it says, of what is a Rosh Arum? Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Yosef Bar Chama says the name of Rav Sheshes. Ze HaMachriya Acherim Be'orach Hosop. This is somebody who tries to trick other people into following his ways because he's such a big tzaddik. As Rashi explains, Ruv Asu Kimoni. This guy, he's making himself to be a big tzaddik. He says, oh, everybody do like me. Ulechu B'drachai, follow my way. And Lo Niskavin Ze, this person had no real intention of teaching other people how to do the right thing. He wants to show off to everybody, look what a parish I am, look what a tzaddik I am, look how good I am. But his inside is not like his outside. Only on the outside is he doing things that sound like he's a big tzaddik. But don't watch me too closely. He says, oh, look at this. I wear this type of clothing. I look and dress in this type of a way. I must be a big talmud chacham. But in fact, what he does in his free time is terrible things. He follows his taivos. And therefore, he wants to draw people's attention away from his real inner terrible things. And that's a Rosh Arum. That is what Rav Yosef Bar Chama says in the name of Rav Sheshes is a Rosh Arum. He tricks people into thinking, look, I'm doing all these superficial things, but don't look too deep. And just follow my superficial things and ignore everything else that I do. Rav Zrika Amar Rav Huna. Rav Zrika says the name Rav Huna. What's the definition of Rosh Arum? He gives himself every kula under the sun. But when people come to ask him, what's the din? He says, oh, you have to be machmir. Oh, you have to be machmir. So he's makul for himself and machmir acherim. That's a Rosh Arum. That's a wrong person. If a person wants to be machmir for himself and makul for others, that's allowed. But to be makul for yourself and machmir for others, that's not allowed. Finally, the last explanation of Rosh Arum is Ula. Ula Omar, Zeh, and we turn to Chof Beis Amud Aleph. The definition of a Rosh Arum is that person, Shekara, he learned Torah, Vishana, and he learned Mishnah. Rashi says Shekara means Mikra, Psukim, Torah, Vishana means Mishnah. However, Veloshimesh Tamidei Chachamim, but he didn't really go into the depths of the learning to really understand anything. As Rashi says, Veloshimesh Tamidei Chachamim, Lilmod Svaras HaGemara, B'taimei Mishnah. So such a person who just learned the cold Mishnah without learning the understanding of it, as the Gemara explains, so such a person is a Rasha. Heim Rasha, who she'ein Torasso al-Boria. He doesn't really understand it. Vein Lilmod him, and you shouldn't learn from him, because Sha'idei HaTamim Yeshchiluk B'Yisavahetu U'B'Din Marmas L'Zchus U'L'Chayev U'B'Taros L'Tamim L'Tar. He's going to make tons of mistakes. He just learned the Mishnah. He's going to assume that that's the din across the board and not understand why the din was like it in that situation but wouldn't be like it in a different situation. So he's going to make all sorts of mistakes in Yisavahetu. He's going to make all sorts of mistakes in Dini Marmas. He's going to make all sorts of mistakes in Taros. As the Gemara tells us in a number of places, G'domim B'Kama Duchte, my time Omamar Umar Hochi. The Gemara will explain what's the rationale for this Mandiyama saying it this way and this Mandiyama saying it that way. And then the Gemara will say, Omar, my Benayu, Ika Benayu. What's the difference between them? Oh, now the Nafkamina will be clear. Here's the Nafkamina. Kach v'kach. And this person, the Arumhu, this Rosh Arum, Shashomeas Kolo, Shona Mishneosav. Oh, people see him learning Mishnais. People hear him learning the Torah. Kisavashu Baki B'tameim. They'll think that he really knows what he's doing. And going to treat him like a Talmud Chacham, when in fact he's just really a shrank, a bookcase that has lots of knowledge, but he doesn't understand how to apply the knowledge. So such a person, of course you should learn Chumash, and of course you should learn Mishnayis, but you then have to go the next step if you want to be a Talmud Chacham and have to understand everything to the fullest depth that you can. And a person who doesn't do so, but yet wants to be called the Talmud Chacham and wants to be given, so to say, all the cover that a Talmud Chacham gets, that person who doesn't put the effort in is called a Rasha Arum. This is a good breakpoint at the Dats here, albeit we're still going to discuss a lot more about this idea in the beginning of tomorrow's Shir. With this, we conclude today's Shir.